Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's scripture reading is Luke 13, 31 through 35. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'"
Before I begin my reflection on the scripture you just heard, as well as on the psalm that we read earlier, and also the anthem reflected the psalm, or the hymn, the second hymn, many of you probably have not met me, and you may wonder, what does the associate minister for discipleship exactly do? Up until about 7 or 8 months ago, the pastor who worked with the Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church would have been the Reverend Doug Ports. And Doug Ports has now gone to work with the Board of Pensions of the Presbyterian Church. And as you know, about 3 years ago, the presbytery was divided into four branches, north, south, east, and west. And when I went on staff, I was called to work with the churches of the east branch, of which there are about 37, and the north branch has about the same number. And when Doug left, I became also working with the north branch. When I worked in the east, I still work with the east branch. Sometimes I call myself the Wicked Witch of the East, but if I remember the Wizard of Oz well, I think the Witch of the North was a good witch. So hopefully our working together as you work forward through this year will bring you good things. Thank you for this invitation. I always enjoy looking at the beauty of our churches. You have a beautiful setting. Not only is your sanctuary lovely, but just to come sort of into this valley is a treat. So thank you for having me here today. I have a little bit of a cold, but I think I can, with the microphone, I'll be all right. We are in the Lenten season, and as you heard in the scripture, Jesus is beginning that journey, which I notice is reflected in your windows here. These really are kind of Lenten windows, beginning with Palm Sunday, right through the resurrection. And reflecting on how Jesus was being increasingly opposed for his work and for his intentions. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever made plans and have them completely unravel? Anybody want to admit to that? Yeah, there we go. We're all there. Many of us plan to go to work or school or run errands this past Tuesday, right? But guess what? The weather had other plans. Some of us were delighted. The Pittsburgh Presbytery offices close when the Pittsburgh schools close. Others were just frustrated. Hopefully none of you had any fender benders as a result of that morning. The plans we make for any given day do not always work out. Can everybody hear me? All the way to the back, good. The weather changes for the worse. Perhaps money we set aside for one thing must be spent for something else. I think there's a certain law of appliances in the house. As soon as you get the washer paid off, the dryer goes. As soon as the dryer gets paid off, the dishwasher goes. It's just a law. It never fails. We get ill unexpectedly, or someone in our family does. So in all kinds of situations, for all kinds of reasons, the plans we may not work out the way we wanted them to. And when these unexpected events take place, we have to adjust our thinking. And sometimes we have to completely change our plans and completely redo our actions. And it's not easy to do that, is it? It's just not easy. When our plans are changed or thwarted, we can become angry or we can become depressed. We may get so upset by the change in plans that we get very quiet and pout. Children are good at this. Or we may get very loud and complain. Surely we all can remember a day as a child when we had been promised that we were going to the zoo or to the movies or to Kennywood, only to have the weather or some other grown-up complication postpone or cancel the family outing. And we were disappointed, right? And wise parents, if you were gifted with wise parents, they found a way to channel our disappointment into some other activity or some other plan. And when children are small, it's easy to redirect them and alter those plans. But as we get older, bends in the road of life are less easy to straighten out. We say to one another that we need to learn to roll with the punches. Roll with the punches. But we don't like to do that, not really. One of the most helpful ways that I have found over the years for thinking about what God is like is to think of God as a parent. And that's in Scripture, God as Father. There are many references in the Bible to human beings being made in the image of God and as being the children of God. We are often called God's children. Even Jesus at times refers to his own disciples who are adults as little children. And in today's passage in Luke, Jesus borrows what I call a parenting image to explain his feelings for the great religious city of Jerusalem. Jesus says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." Jesus will say similar words when he arrives in Jerusalem less than a week before his crucifixion. In fact, Jesus will stand above Jerusalem and weep over the city. And Jesus will weep as a parent weeps for a child who is lost and a child who is suffering. The image of a mother hen with a little brood of chicks around it is a very telling one for what it tells us about God. The instinct of a mother hen, and really almost all mother animals, is to protect and preserve and to shield the lives of her children until they can fend for themselves. In this passage in Luke, Jesus is being told something that he already knows. The Pharisees have come to warn him that Herod is after him, but Jesus already knew that. Because Jesus has come from God with new ideas and powerful practices, and he's attracting followers, and he's speaking words of judgment on the Pharisees themselves, on King Herod and others in power. They want his life ended because they had plans. They had earthly plans. King Herod's family, as you'll recall, at the birth of Jesus, that King Herod tried to have Jesus killed. And now the reigning Herod wants to finish the job once and for all. This Jesus of Nazareth should not be allowed to upset the delicate balance of Roman law and Roman force and Jewish religious authority. There was a system in place, and it worked. It rewarded the rich and the powerful. It rewarded the outwardly pious. And then Jesus came along. And he had very different plans. Do you remember when Jesus went into the synagogue in his hometown? He went in to read in Nazareth. He went into the temple and he stood up to read from the prophet Isaiah. And Jesus unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has sent me to give good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and to let the oppressed go free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus read those words and sat down. And then he told them that those words had been fulfilled in him. In other words, he told his hometown people that he was a part of God's plan for saving the world. Jesus was a part of the plan that God had. We like to talk, there's an expression we talk about, the fullness of time. Jesus was born in the fullness of time. And to be born in the fullness of time means that he came at precisely the time that God intended him to come. God makes the plans. Human beings don't make those plans. Herod does not get the plan. Caiaphas does not. Pontius Pilate does not get to make plans for God. The prophet predicted, "For unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born." And it had come to pass. And Jesus was that child, and he knew it, and his disciples believed it. And more people were willing to change their plans and their view of how things should go to follow Jesus, who they believed was Christ the Messiah. So Herod set out to change those plans. Herod decided to have Jesus killed. But if you were listening to the scripture, Jesus doesn't sound particularly distressed about that, does he? He's not particularly upset or surprised at Herod's plot. Jesus listens to the Pharisees and then he says, "Go tell that fox for me. Listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow. On the third day, I finish my work." In other words, go tell your sly old crafty fox, Herod, that Jesus will finish his work in spite of Herod. And not only will Jesus finish his work in spite of Herod, Herod's worst intentions for Jesus may become a part of the plan. Jesus said, "Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem." What Jesus is saying there is he must fulfill the prophecy. Jesus knows he will be killed. and he knows he will die in Jerusalem. And he knows that somehow that's a part of the plan. Jesus himself may have wanted another way for God's plans to be fulfilled. If you look up at your windows here, the third window is "Not as I will, but as thou wilt." Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus says, "May this cup pass from me," in a way he's saying, "God, can't you change the plan?" And finally, Jesus says, "If not, thy will be done." Jesus does not fail to do what he was called to do. He was tempted in the wilderness. If you read that passage recently, he was tempted to misuse his power in the wilderness. But he didn't give in to that temptation. He could have been tempted to avoid the cross, but he did not. And what the Herods of this world, in the time of Jesus, and even in our day, what the Herods of this world fail to realize is that in the end, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the end, God's will be done. We can seek to go with God's plans, or we can try to do things the way we want to and follow our own will. Now, I admit there are times in life when we may not be clear about what God's plans are for our life. It's not always clear exactly what we're supposed to do. Or someone in our family, we think we know what they should do, but we don't know. Maybe they're having trouble making choices and decisions. It's not always clear what God's plans are for our life. It's not always clear what God's plan is for a congregation. Not immediately. In fact, we might even argue with God about the way things are happening or not happening. Or we may argue with God's timing. Why isn't this happening more quickly? And at such times, we need to dig deep and hold on to one another and pray. And we have to try to have the confidence and the faith that we found in Psalm 27 this morning. Psalm 27 is a triumphant psalm of confidence. It's a confidence in God's plans. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He will hide me in the shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me in the cover of his tent. He will set me up on a high rock. He will gather me as a mother hen gathers her chicks. Are we willing for God's plans to be our plans? Do we trust our God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our Heavenly Parent to have plans for us that are better than anything we might dream up or imagine? That kind of faith is not easy. We will grow impatient, like children disappointed in plans made and broken. We will be disappointed, and we will have to roll with the punches at times. And we may also not always understand why such difficult passages come to us in our lives. Why do these things need to be part of the plan? that we don't always know. But we do know that in the end, Jesus did not resist God's perfect plan for his life. And because Jesus did not resist, that makes all the difference for us. Because of the obedience of Jesus and the love of Jesus, we don't need to be afraid of any person. We don't need to be afraid of the devil. We don't need to be afraid of death itself. God's truth, God's plans will triumph. And in this season of Lent, our daily prayer should be just to be a part of the plan. The psalmist says it with these most lovely words. And may these be our words today. Words that we say to one another and to God and to Jesus. One thing I ask of the Lord, that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Amen.